Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey! What it do?
Ahoy!
Hello. How is everybody today?
You had like a Larry Johnson free throw beginning there. You had that pause at the top.
I had a hitch. Yeah, it was like Charles Barkley.
The golf swing?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a bad golf swing.
It really is.
It might be the worst I've ever seen.
Is it true that he said that he has that golf swing because he played in pro-ams and people would line the tee boxes?
Yeah, he'd get nervous.
And he didn't want to hit him, so he couldn't pull the trigger?
Yeah.
That's a true story?
Yeah, it's like a mental thing. I don't know if he's ever actually hit anyone, but he has said that's why there's that, like, he can't bring himself to do the follow-through. And they had, like, the Charles Barkley project. I think it was Hank Haney.
Was it Haney? Yeah,
I remember that.
It
was one of Tiger's swing coaches, and they were trying to fix the swing because he loves to golf. But dude, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, you've seen bad golf swings, like if you try to teach like your kid to play, or you know, we've all seen bad swings. But that is the ugliest golf swing of someone that actually plays golf. And think about that. That's a world class athlete. That is a Hall of Fame athlete. And the hand-eye coordination that he possesses, and that's his golf swing.
You know what, though? In our biz, over the years, we've played golf with a lot of great athletes.
Sure.
And the one thing I've noticed, generally speaking, is none of them have great golf swings. But the eye-hand is so good.
It makes up for it.
They just get the ball where they want it to go. It doesn't look pretty.
Yeah.
But they just do it. It's amazing. And the hands. The great hands, especially ex-basketball players, all have huge old mitts, and they are, and that serves them well in golf. Yeah. But their swing, you know.
Well, and a lot of the baseball players, especially, they have a little bit. There's a little bit of the baseball nature to it.
Well,
hockey players.
I mean, Ken Griffey Jr.'s golf swing, humble brag. Played with him once.
You know, pick up that name right there. I think it's laying on the ground.
Did I mention Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah. That you played with.
His golf swing is pretty.
Yeah.
It looks like his baseball swing.
Sure.
Kind of.
He hits it a long way.
Yeah. Kenny Lofton, good little baseball player.
I've heard of him.
Golf swings.
He was a good basketball player too.
Yeah, he was. His golf swing's ugly.
Yeah.
Should I mention that I played golf with Bo Jackson?
I'm going to trip over some of these in a little bit. Please sweep them to the side.
That's one of my finest sports memories is golfing with Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Because he was an old royal and he's just Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson. You played with Bo Jackson and that was fantastic.
He's the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
Well, I think a lot of people claim that he's, a lot of people say he's the greatest athlete, period.
So I got to golf with him, okay?
Yeah.
Did I mention that? Have I mentioned that yet?
I think. Yeah, maybe once or twice.
I don't know.
His golf swing ain't pretty, baby.
Yeah.
But man, can he bomb. His golf shots look like his home runs. They just hang up there and they're really high and they just keep going.
Long
But you
long
don't
way.
Really see how he does it by watching, by looking at his golf swing. You're like, oh, he's probably a 15 handicap or whatever. And then he shoots like 74.
The weird one for me is when you, if you're playing in a pro-am or whatever, if you're, you know, someone that's a professional golfer, every now and then, like I'll play with a, you play with someone that's like a club champion and they played in like on some mini tours, they played in college or whatever. And you get the Ricky Fowler size guy. That's the one that blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and just annihilates the ball. And you're like, what the hell? You know, he'll be 5'7". He weighs, you know, 140 pounds. And he'll just go out there and, you know, the big D energy and just blast it. And you're like, now I feel.
Well, that's pretty much all the kids these days.
Yeah.
Anybody that's in golf, you know, younger than 25, they're just bombs away, man.
Swing from the shoes and they just hit the hell out of it. Mm. That hurts my back just thinking about it.
Yeah.
The torque.
Torque.
Not so much.
That word, torque.
Yeah, I feel like something's going to get blown out or severed if I swing that hard.
So Bo and I were playing golf together.
Yeah, yeah. Chatting up the good old days.
Riding in the same golf cart.
Talking about hunting, having a cigar.
You know what he talked a lot about? Nature. He liked to watch. He loved being in Oregon.
Yeah, well, he's a hunting guy. He's like a bow hunter.
And he liked to watch all the animals and the squirrels and the birds and the trees and everything.
Yeah.
But we're at Portland Golf Club.
Wow.
That's where we played.
Must be nice.
He and I. Bo and I.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy Bo.
So simple. It just might work.
And there's a kid who is walking along with the member that we're playing with. Mm-hmm. And the kid's probably 15, 16. And number 18 at Portland Golf Club is a really long par 5 where the green is uphill. And you just don't see a lot of guys hit it in two, if ever.
Yeah.
Just long. And Bo bombs his drive down the right side, but he's in the rough. And this kid's walking along, and Bo's standing over there getting ready to hit his shot, second shot into the par 5. And this kid goes, you know, for as many times as I've played here and I've been with my dad and his friends and stuff, I've never seen anyone hit this green in two. And
you saw the light?
The fire that lit in Bo Jackson's eye was like, oh yeah?
Yeah.
Watch this. And he goes back to his bag and he pulls the 3-wood and he takes an almighty rip at it. And I was thinking, because I've played it enough out there to know, he ain't hitting it. Not from here.
Yeah.
Like his drive was good, but it wasn't that good. Yeah. And he's in the rough. I'm like, he ain't hitting the green. Dude, freaking lasers one, pin high, middle of the green. Yeah. And the kid is just like, his jaw is on the ground. And as we're riding in the cart, Bo and I, just
golf clap. Just give a little.
He's driving because he's in control.
Of course.
I'm the little spin.
You're not driving Bo Jackson. Far from it.
And he turns to me and he goes, sometimes you just got to give him something to talk about. And I was like, man, you are the coolest MF-er of all time.
Why is Bo Jackson?
You did that just because the kid said that he's never seen it.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah.
On command.
And he rose to the occasion.
And then he's like, I just got to give him something to talk about.
And they snap a club over his knee.
No,
that to this day is
he never
one,
did.
That's one of the more amazing things. Have you ever tried doing that? Did you ever get drunk with your buddies and give that a whirl?
No.
Like
I would not want to. I couldn't do that.
Now that kind of blows me away. And I know some people have claimed that, like, if you do it in the right spot, but
do they do that?
We were around big guys. Like, it's, you know, football players, and we were all offensive linemen, and like, that blows my mind at the ease at which he was doing that. I have seen so many very large offensive and defensive linemen give that a whirl, and it always ends up with the same thing, and that's, ow, that really hurts. And then the bat just laughs at you. That and when he did it above his head, because at least
he broke it on his helmet.
At least over the knee, there was like some force put to it. He would put that thing over his head and then just like strongman bend it, and it would snap.
Yeah.
And I remember like us being like, all right, let's give this a whirl. And no, we're not.
Yeah, you wonder, did he practice that?
I don't know. Like,
I should have asked him.
Is it a parlor trick? Did he know he could do it? Or was it really in a moment of rage, he went all Super Bo and broke the knee over his back? That, to me, is one of the more impressive things I've ever seen.
I would think that he would have to know how to do that and have done it before in order to do it on command like that.
Well, you're going to look like an ass if you attempt it and it doesn't work.
Exactly. And you're Bo Jackson. You can't like Robin Ventura can try and fail and it's like, oh, dork. Yeah. But Bo Jackson can't. If Bo Jackson's going to try it, you better.
Well, like I watched.
Like he had a reputation.
I watched a roommate of mine who was all, you know, he was on some vitamins. He was this mammoth human being, right? Like strongest guy that maybe I've ever been around. He's an absolute freak. And I saw him attempt it like a half. He was like determined that he was going to do it, right? He's like, he wasn't going to take no for an answer. And he got done and there was like a big swollen mark on his leg. And I just like, he's stronger than Bo Jackson. Dude, that's the strongest guy I've ever played with. And he couldn't do it at time after time after time. And Bo just in the moment, and he splinters it like a toothpick. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
And maybe you should have asked him in between becoming best friends.
You know what? He is my best friend now.
Yeah.
But I will say he's pretty intimidating. Like, he's not the most.
No, he's not cuddly.
No, he's not.
Well, I remember because we were in the clubhouse eating afterwards, and someone, one of the like the attendants asked to take a photo with him.
Yeah, he didn't like
that.
No, that happened not on the course too with somebody, and he told me why he doesn't like that.
Yeah,
and he just he's just a bristly guy.
I'll tell you what, that made me. I didn't even ask. I was at the table, and you know, I was trying to build up the courage to ask for a photo with Bo, and then I saw that kid do it. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
But he's super cool. Well, he hates that because he said one time he was at Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, and
well, he hates social media.
He was I'm not judging.
You're judging a little bit.
He said that somebody took a picture of him on Facebook, or he took a picture with somebody, and it went to Facebook. He's not on social media. He's Bo freaking Jackson.
Yeah.
And he said, by the time that thing hit Facebook, all of a sudden there's a line at my table. Yeah. Like, he blamed social media and people seeing that he was at Outback Steakhouse because that guy posted the photo that totally ruined his dinner. Because the Bloomin' Onion, you can't have a line of autograph seekers when you're trying to down a Bloomin' Onion.
No, you got a little surf and turf happening there. You want some peace.
So from that point on, I deduced that he just thought that social media was horrible, and he hates, and he says, if you're going to take a picture with me, he asked you, he said, do not post it anywhere. I'll do it, but don't post it. So he's got this weird thing about that, but I didn't mess with him.
No,
I don't even think I got a photo with him.
Well, I was sitting at the table next because like you were golfing with Bo and I don't remember who I was with, but I wanted to get a picture with Bo Jackson and that kid.
Yeah, don't.
That scared me. I remember looking over and just being like, no.
He signed my scorecard, like a separate scorecard
and,
for me.
And you were good at that. You're like,
and he did that on his own. He's like, here, like, wait, I don't want your autograph.
Yeah.
No, I did. And so I still have that. He's a pretty bristly guy.
Yeah. Well, some of those
not
guys.
Not a big teddy bear, but once you got him out on the course and it was just the four of us or five of us or whatever, he was great.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Well, there's an occasion where you meet he wasn't the Bo Jackson, but remember we played with Greg Lloyd, the old Steelers linebacker?
Yeah, similar.
He terrified me.
But he was a nice guy.
He's
intimidating.
I was never comfortable around him.
I punched him in the stomach. Did you see that when I did that?
You just sucker punched him?
Yeah, I was like, take that.
You're like, take this, Greg. And I think he enjoyed making everyone uncomfortable, except for you, because I think he was scared.
He was scared, yeah.
You know, you.
Well, that's how you got to tackle people like that.
Gosh.
Like, come up and just.
Yeah, just go right
at
him.
Give one in the ribs.
Just every now and then he would say something and you're like, are you going to kick my ass? Because I would rather you not do that. He just was like you said, it's a bristly kind of scary dude. And Bo was certainly in that stratosphere. And plus it's more intimidating because it's Bo Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the bristly thing. He's a big dude. But the fact that it's Bo Jackson, it's more intimidating than just like a random linebacker that's going to murder you.
And it is true that he never lifted weights.
Herschel Walker was like that.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just strong.
My brother has a story about that. We can ask him about it, but there was a player he played with at Washington State named Mark Fields. And people probably don't remember him unless you were a Pac-10 fan back in the 90s. But Mark played 1 year of football at Washington State. He couldn't qualify academically, but he played 1 year, was the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year, was a first-team All-American, and was like the 13th overall pick in the NFL draft. He played for 10, 12 years with the Panthers and the Rams and all that. My brother has a pretty good story about that Mark was like at a JC trying to get academically qualified during the summer. And so no one had seen him. He hadn't been working out and anything like that. And Mark showed up like during like the testing period, like before you kind of went into camp, and they're like, "Oh, you're here to test." And Mark's like, "What?" And he's like, "No." And they're like, "Well, we're testing." And like someone was warming up or someone was bench pressing and had like 375 or 400, something like that on. And Mark just got underneath it and like did it one time and was like, "Is that good enough?" And they're like, "Yeah, Mark, you're good." Like he hadn't worked out all summer. Same thing. Like they were like running 40s and Mark borrowed someone's shoes and went out and he's like a 245 pound linebacker and he runs like 4 or 5. And same thing. He's like, "Good enough." They're like, "Mark, you're fine. You don't need to test. Just go over there and then go murder people." And it's just, there's just guys like
they're
that.
They're just different.
That are just different. They don't lift weights. They don't run. They're not real students of the game. Just when they were babies, some higher power decided that they were going to be an athletic freak.
Probably the Lord.
Or Tom Cruise. I don't know. Who's it? Buddha? You know, whatever. The elephant. Who was that? Bishnu? The elephant? Whatever. God you believe in. They were just different. And the thing is, there's a lot of those guys walking around that for whatever reason, background, circumstances, they never make it because, you know, they come from maybe disadvantaged backgrounds or never get some structure. But the ones that get some guidance and get through, it's amazing when you see someone that doesn't really work that hard, but is still just so much better than everyone else.
It's like me.
Yeah. No effort. But then you wonder, like, if you had like a Kobe Bryant work ethic and you put it in one of those guys' bodies, what does that end up? Well, that ends up with Kobe Bryant. But
or they just get hurt. Like, Bo got hurt anyway, but, you know, you wonder if that grind would have just wore him out.
Yeah, you never know. Because you're right. He was a guy that just kind of...
He didn't do anything.
No, he just showed up and was...
That's right.
He could play.
Yeah, leave me alone. I'm going to get you 150 yards, well, coach.
A lot of people that say...
He ran out of his own hip, for God's sake.
Out of his own hip socket. There's a lot of people that say that he was the most talented running back they ever saw, and he did it part-time.
Okay, well, let's get to going here. You ready to roll? We're watching golf in the studio. It's a beautiful day outside.
Yeah. Early spring, except I think it's supposed to rain this weekend.
Joey Harrington's coming on at 5:30, story time with Joey. That'll be exciting. It's Friday. Yeah, good times. We're going to talk some John Beilein. You ready to talk some John Beilein?
He seems like a wonderful person that just gets along with everybody.
Right?
Yeah.
What else do we have today? Oh. The verdict has been reached in the Jeremy Christian Max stabbing trial.
Yeah. And we've got...
we don't know it yet.
We could have a new collective bargaining agreement pretty soon here with the NFL.
The NFL, CBA. Uh-huh. Yeah. Man, we have a big heavyweight fight this weekend.
We do. I would make the argument that this is the biggest... Well... This is
put
as,
a pin in it. Put
okay,
a pin
we'll
in
put
it.
A pin in it. This it, is a
it's
big
a
deal.
Subject. It's one of the subjects of our poll questions.
It's so a big. We'll, it's a big deal.
We'll talk about this next. 316 fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's today's poll question. 1080thefan.com brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. We are asking you today, what will grab your interest this weekend? Golf, heavyweight boxing, Blazers and NBA, college hoops, or the XFL? I'm going to go ahead and click on golf. Thank you.
Oh, please. You'll be watching Scranton Strong. You know you want to see Matt McGloin.
No.
Can I vote for none?
Well, that'd be it.
Really? Are you going to take a big steamer all over this, Mike?
That's sports, man. There's no more sports.
That list right there was the least sexy list of sports I've ever heard.
It's not great, but there's golf.
Can't wait for that post All-Star break, no Damian Lillard Blazers.
I know.
Don't care about golf.
It's actually really
don't
tough.
Care about fighting.
It's a tough answer.
The XFL
it's probably
sucks.
Boxing.
That's for me. Like
this that's a big fight.
Yes, and that's what I was where I was going down the road.
I mean, not that. I don't know much about it.
I think this is the big. It's the biggest heavyweight fight since Holyfield Tyson.
Right.
Well, there's two of those, but
where did the heavyweights go?
Well, they've largely been European, and there just hasn't been...
Well, nobody cares about that.
No, I mean, it's the Klitschko brothers, and they were dominant. And Lennox Lewis was kind of the last one that anyone really cared about. And when Lennox Lewis retired and it was the Klitschko brothers, no one has really cared. And now all of a sudden, there's a couple that people have heard of, and you've got two really good ones here, and they had a phenomenal first fight that ended up in a draw. And both are showmen, both are big personalities, both put on big displays, and it's not a boring fight. Like... You could make the argument that Pacquiao Mayweather was probably the biggest fight that we've had over the last decade, but it was boring as all get out, and both were over the hill. And so it was kind of ended up being a dud. It was a bad fight, and Pacquiao was hurt. This one has all the buildup of that. It's heavyweights, which carries a cachet with it that no other weight class in boxing can have. I mean, no offense, but there's, you know, there's been great smaller fighters. I mean, you go back to Sugar Ray Leonard, if you want to go with that, and Duran, Hagler, Hearns. Nothing compares to the heavyweights. And you finally have two heavyweights that people care about and are going to give you a great performance. Someone's walking out of there with a knockout. This thing isn't going the distance again. And so for me as a boxing fan, this is excited as a fight that you can get. This is the best heavyweight fight since Tyson Holyfield, which was in the late 90s. And I think this is one of... just period, the two or three biggest fights since that, no matter what weight class you're talking about.
So Fury's a white guy.
Yeah, he's the Gypsy King.
And he's from England? I don't think he's American.
He's not American.
Wilder's American, and he is a black guy.
Yes, Tyson Fury, he calls himself the Gypsy King, but I'm trying to think of where he's from. Maybe he's Welsh. I think he's from the United Kingdom, but I don't know if he's from England.
Well, anyway, they've already fought once.
No, he is. He's English.
He's English, okay. And I've heard people compare Fury and his skills to Muhammad Ali.
Well, it's interesting when you watch him because he's this big. He's a super heavyweight in that he's tall. There's this new. Bert Sugar called them the super heavyweights, and that was like the Lennox Lewis and the Klitschko brothers, and now Tyson Fury, where these guys are. You know, 6'8", 6'9", and they're just these giant human beings. Whereas the old, you know, and they weigh 250, 260 pounds. You know, the olden days, there were a lot of heavyweights that weighed 215, that weighed 220 and were 6'1". So this is a whole different level. And for as big as he is, he doesn't look like he's in the greatest shape. He's kind of doughy.
Yeah, he doesn't look like much.
No, and he's not a great puncher. But he is a great boxer. And so you would think he's going to be this brawler, right? He calls himself the Gypsy King. He's not. He's a real slippery boxer with really fast hands. Huh. And on the other side of things, Wilder may have the best right hand in boxing history. Like, he annihilates people. Think, Mike, if you haven't seen him fight, when Mike Tyson hit people, right, you went to sleep. No matter what round it was, that guy could knock you out. It's that and then some. Because, again, he is a super heavyweight. He is a big guy, and he just lays people out.
Well. You've got me interested. I still won't buy it.
Oh, well.
Where are you going to buy it? How much is it? Like 50 bucks?
I think it's more than that. I actually
is it?
Yeah, but, you know, there's ways you can.
They used to be 50.
There's ways you can.
Oh, are you going to pirate it?
No, I'm just saying there's ways, if you want, Reddit.
Reddit, you know, okay.
You can.
All right, well.
You can do those things.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'll watch it.
It's worthwhile. This will not be a boring fight. I know sometimes with boxing or with MMA, it can be.
Who's going to win?
I think Wilder knocks him out. You know,
ooh.
Tyson Fury is the better boxer, and he had that fight won, but he got knocked down twice, and he got knocked down in the 12th round. If he doesn't get knocked down, you know, he wins that fight, but. I don't think he's going to go the distance. I don't think the fact that he got up twice off the mat, I think he's a better boxer. I think he's going to outbox Wilder, but he's going to get caught, and I think he goes to sleep.
So wait a minute. Fury got knocked down by the best puncher perhaps in boxing history twice.
Twice.
And he got up?
Yes.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
It was such a good fight.
Am I wrong?
No, it was, believe me.
Like usually if he's the best puncher.
You don't get up.
You don't get up.
No. And he got up.
Huh. Who's favored?
You got to see, go back and look at the YouTube clip. And you're not a wrestling fan, but you know that when Hogan would like back in the day, like Hogan would get up, like he'd be down and out.
I remember, yeah, and he'd start shaking and then, yeah.
Tyson Fury pulled the Hulk Hogan. He was out and he got up. It's amazing.
Who's favored, did you say?
I think Wilder is favored.
Is he?
Yeah. I think he's minus 130.
Ooh, okay. What should I bet on?
Look,
I can bet on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app.
One's a better boxer.
I'm going to bet on Wilder.
And one is a better puncher. So, I mean, it depends. If it goes the distance, Fury's going to win. And the other one, too, is Fury has, and I don't know if he's blowing smoke or not, but Fury has said that he's not going to box him. He said that he's going to go at him and go toe-to-toe with him.
Idiot.
If that's the case, and have fun. I don't know who wants to walk into that.
Well, that's fun, though.
Yeah, YouTube.
Got a heavyweight fight that matters.
YouTube some of the clips of Wilder's knockouts, and they're just vicious.
But I would also like to remind everyone the WGC Mexico is on.
Oh, well.
This weekend.
Sorry, so. I'll be.
There's some good players up near the top.
Yeah.
A bunch of studs out there.
I'll be watching this.
DuChambeau is winning.
I'm fired up about
this. Did you see that Patrick Reed thing?
No.
That he cheats?
What was Patrick Reed up to?
So Patrick Reed's won off the lead here at this Mexico tournament.
Yeah.
You know Patrick Reed's a schmuck, right?
Yes.
You know that?
Everyone hates him.
Yeah, well, he stole from his college teammates. He stole stuff out of their locker.
And he's like, he's a
cheater.
His parents don't have anything. Like, there's
a disconnect. His parents don't have... Well, I was at the Masters where he won.
Yeah.
And his parents were not allowed to be there. They live in Augusta, Georgia,
He played at Georgia, right? So,
well, yeah, part of it. And then he left.
Yeah.
Because he got kicked off the team. Anyway, he's got a long, sordid history of being a schmuck and no one likes him. However, when he's leading the charge, the Ryder Cup for the Americans, it's pretty awesome. But nobody likes Patrick Reed. Well, Peter Costas, who is an on-course golf correspondent, you hear him on all the broadcasts.
Yeah.
He went on a podcast or somewhere. He was talking, doing an interview.
Sure.
And he said that Patrick Reed improves his lie, which is entirely against the rules of, like, this is one thing I love about golf.
How can you do that when everything's on film?
Well, exactly. One thing I love about golf is it's a gentleman's game. Like, you play by the rules. All these guys play by the rules and they're looking to beat the other guy, but they're all, I don't know. It's a gentleman's game. Anyway, you don't do this crap. And Patrick Reed, what he would do is he would, like, for example, there's a clip of Costas saying that, Patrick Reed's lie, now that he's getting ready to hit this three wood, is a lot better than when I first got over here. Meaning what he does is he takes out clubs pretending like he's going to hit that club and he pats down the grass behind the ball, improving his lie to the point where he hits the club so he can get the three wood at it.
You get underneath. Interesting.
And Costas called him out on it. He called him out on it on a broadcast, but nobody really caught it. And the other guys in the booth were like, really, they were like, whoa, 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 Peter, what are you saying here? You know, they didn't want to touch it.
Yeah.
But Costas is like, I've seen him do that multiple times. So Patrick Reed is fighting another controversy with him cheat. Because, you know, he had the controversy where he was in the sand recently, yeah. And he's just a putz.
Well, it's funny how guys like that, it follows him around, right?
Well, he's a putz.
Yeah.
Anyway, why am I telling you that? Because golf.
There you go.
That's why.
You golf.
Golf.
I'll watch boxing.
Yeah. Report back on Monday.
Seriously, go on Reddit and find a stream. It's worth watching.
Mike, watch it.
This will be good.
Jerk.
I won't watch it.
Will you watch golf?
No. I'll watch. Well,
are you going to watch? Oh, you're going to watch Premier League, huh?
I will, yeah. I'm going to watch the clips of the boxing whenever those come out. Because I need, you know, if it's a big fight, I'll see how it ends, but I'm not watching the whole fight.
Let's talk about the John Beilein.
I just don't care.
Situation. You should care, Mike.
Care more.
Care more.
Boxing, sports, fighting, sports, never, sports, ever sports, up my
sports,
alley.
Dial of sports.
I just don't care.
John Beilein is out as the Cavaliers coach, and some of the details about that are quite, well, they're just funny. Sure. So we're going to talk about that in our next segment. But first, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, folks, it is 3:36. That's what time it is. You're listening to the radio show of Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan. By the way, I have a little breaking news.
Ooh.
Do you like breaking news?
I do like breaking news. I think I just saw the same breaking news that you did.
You will be happy with this. Jury finds Jeremy Christian guilty on all counts.
Good.
So he'll be sentenced soon, and he'll go away for a long, long time.
No death penalty, though.
No, no, but he's not getting out of prison, which is what we all wanted.
He's going forever.
Yeah.
And he will. And the world is better without him in it.
No question.
Yeah.
So, John Beilein. Okay, so this is something we've yet to discuss in the happenings of the week, and that is that Cavaliers coach John Beilein, remember when they hired him?
I do.
Hired him out of Michigan.
Yeah, he was. Some people said he was going to be the next Greg Popovich. He was a taskmaster. Not so much.
Well, he was a really good college coach. Coached for years at West Virginia, and then he's done a great job at Michigan. Mm-hmm. One problem. He got a 5-year deal in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He is out after 54 games.
And it sounds like it was mutual. Sounds like both sides, the Cavs and Beilein, were like, yeah, this...
It was a disaster.
This isn't working.
So there's a piece in The Athletic about what happened.
Yeah.
And some of it has already come out. Like, for example, he called them thugs in a film session, which that's not good. I don't know how you recover from that.
Yeah, but there seemed to be a bit of a disconnect there.
Well, but he didn't own that. And he said he meant to say slugs, but he slipped and called them thugs. He meant slugs. And they're like, yeah, no, that's not what you meant. Yeah. And so he's not even owning that. And so they're pissed at him for that. But it started from like literally the first day of camp.
I guess he came in and he just tried to do the, we're gonna outwork everybody. And
he's the heavy-handed.
He's the heavy-handed
football
guy.
Coach
yeah,
guy.
And it just wasn't.
And in the NBA,
it wasn't working.
You ain't getting away with that.
Yeah.
Very interesting because I find it, well, two things. One, I find it fascinating that he can't even adapt, like, even a little bit.
No.
Right? Like, I guess it was evident from the get-go that they weren't going to do what he said, and they weren't going to work the way he wanted them to work, and they weren't going to follow his plan. So why not maybe try to mix that up a little bit? Maybe switch it up, try something different. Nope. He was just... It's my way or the highway, and of course that.
Well, he's 60
in the NBA. That ends in disaster.
Well, he's 67 years old, and in a stunning development,
he only has a fastball.
The 67-year-old white college coach that spent his entire life in college, where kids had no say, ended up with a bunch of African American 20-something millionaires, and they didn't want to be treated like poor 18-year-old kids.
Yeah, but you know what though,
Barkley. By the way, I don't know if you heard any of what Charles had to say. Barkley called out the players. Like, I guess Barkley knows Beilein and said that he's a good guy, and he said that it was despicable. And he basically said that the NBA is a joke when players act unprofessional like this. But
that is true. But you still, if you want to be a good coach or an effective coach, you have to adapt.
Sure.
I mean, CJ McCollum said this today. I'm going to read you his quote here in a second. But he said this. Look, NBA guys can be soft.
Yes.
Okay. And when you get a heavy-handed guy like Beilein in there, that's not a good fit. That's my second thing. It's like, why would the Cavs, knowing the way he is, why would you hire him?
With a bunch of young guys on your roster, I think really the only vets are Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love.
That's why. I think they said, well, okay, he can kind of bring these guys along with the way, he does things in college. It's a little bit more, I don't know, resembles more of a college team because everybody's so young. But... And that's probably why they justified it.
Yeah.
But college coaches, a lot of them are really heavy-handed, but they still, some of them have had a lot of success in the NBA. Yeah. Not all. So it's not necessarily just it works in college, doesn't work in the NBA. He's just an ass, and he couldn't adapt. Guys adapt,
But
Bill Self's really heavy-handed.
Sure.
He's like that. Very demanding.
Most college coaches are.
But when he gets to the NBA and he'll be the next Spurs coach after Popovich, he ain't going to be like that. He's smarter than that. He knows that you can't treat NBA players like that.
Well, but it's also why the Tom Izzos of the world and the Coach K stay right where they are. None of that crap plays in the NBA. It just doesn't.
Well, Calipari made the leap. Yeah, Patino made the leap. Yeah, Brad Stevens made the leap. See, that worked.
Well, Calipari and Patino didn't work.
No, I said Stevens worked.
Stevens is Stevens, a very calm,
Stevens, exactly.
Coach.
He's the only one of those guys.
But I mean, just to say that college coaches can't succeed in the NBA is not right.
No, but it is. It has been few and far between. And we've seen some of the best go in and fail and fall on their ass. It's the same thing with the college coaches in the NFL. Schematically, no one has any sort of a doubt that these guys that go from college, whether it's in the basketball or football world, have the acumen and know what they're talking about. But it pains me to say this, but Doug Gottlieb, I've referred to this multiple times.
Douchelieb?
He is. But every now and then, blind squirrel nut sort of thing.
It's kind of douchey.
He said it the best. He goes, the catch-22 of the NBA is you cannot win in the NBA unless the players buy into what you're saying. But you can't get, as a coach, you can't get millionaire athletes to buy in unless you have something that they respect. And when a college coach comes in, there is none of that. And so it's like it's this ultimate catch-22. And somehow Popovich got Tim Duncan to buy in, right? And that is the whole basis of his system, that if you can get Tim Duncan to buy in, everyone else has to go along with it. And he said as much. But if Tim Duncan early on hadn't bought into Popovich's shtick, because I guess Popovich would ream Tim Duncan, and he knew that he could do it, and it made everyone else fall in line. If Tim Duncan didn't want to go along with Greg Popovich, we're not talking about him as one of the great coaches of all time. It is a players' league, and it's guaranteed money. And if you lose a locker room, it doesn't matter that you have a 5-year deal or not. You're out after 54 games.
Yeah, I think Pop's a better coach than just saying, oh, he was smart to get Tim Duncan to fall in line. I think that was a big part of what he did. But Pop can relate to guys and can get deeper with guys.
Sure.
I think he's very real. This is how Terry Stotts is. I think why he's a good coach for players in the NBA and players like him is that he relates to them and talks to them about more than basketball and kind of earns their trust that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just basic leadership style, but when you can't adapt and you just only have the one fastball, that ain't going to work in the NBA. I mean, dude, guys in the NBA, they said in this Athletic article that Beilein was shocked by how guys would just not practice because they were sore.
Or watch film.
Or watch film. They just didn't want. Yeah. And,
He would have film sessions and guys, I guess, were falling asleep and just like, hey, yeah, I'm not doing this.
But guess what? Like, Beilein's not wrong in a sense of like, wait, what? Yeah. This is the way it operates? Yeah. But that's the way it operates. I mean, that's the way the NBA is. Like, here's what McCollum said. CJ McCollum commented on this on his podcast, and he said, I think John's a great coach. He's had a lot of success at the collegiate level, but the NBA is a different animal. It's completely different players, different personalities, guys who are at different stages of their careers and are used to being treated a certain way. Right there. Used to being treated a certain way. I think it was too much of an adjustment for him, and I think he realized that early on and decided to move forward. Exactly. That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
And the NBA is I would imagine, for a guy who's used to cracking the whip and is a pretty heavy-handed dude, I would imagine the NBA is a stunner.
Yeah.
You walk in there and go, wait, why aren't you practicing?
Yeah.
Coach, I'm a little sore. I went out a little bit late last night.
I'm not doing it.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so
we're talking about practice.
I just don't understand how Beilein doesn't know that that's part of the way it is. But
you're 67 years old, and you think you've done it one way your entire career, and then you get there and whoops. Well, who was it, with like Chip Kelly, right? His whole thing was he wanted to monitor how you slept. He wanted to monitor your hydration.
And the guys are like, what?
Yeah, like, you can go to hell. What? No, see, when I leave here at 7 o'clock at night, you don't get to tell me what to do. So take your Fitbit there and El Cramo. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, as you've talked about this a million times, is when you get to the professional level, they are just that. They are professionals.
Yes.
And you have to treat them as such. And Chip had a little bit of that where it was heavy handed, like, this is the way we're going to do it. And I need you to do this, this, and that. No. You need me to perform for you, and I will do that.
Yeah.
That's our agreement. Otherwise, leave me the F alone.
Yeah. With the younger guys, the back half
different.
Of the roster, you can make them, but the vets that have been in the league 6-7 years or
exactly.
that have grown kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
So here's the text.
And by the way, don't the thug thing. That's hard to recover from.
Exactly. That was the nail in the coffin. Is they all hated him anyway, and then he said that, and it's like,
I don't care that you meant to say slugs or not. That's a slip of the tongue that you can't get over.
Well, and as one player said in that article, just own it. Yeah. You said it. Yeah. Own it. Anyway, Tech says, Beeline is a great name for someone who's getting the hell out of somewhere really quickly.
That's true.
That is true. And I tell you what, Beeline's going to go back to college, and he's going to be magnificent. That's a heck of a college coach that, depending on, I mean, I'm sure he'll wait it out this offseason and see, you know, what jobs open up. But if you got your pick of the litter, or let's say you just have a college basketball opening this offseason, that's one of the first guys you should call.
Absolutely. And someone saying why the NBA guys don't work as hard as the NFL players. One, guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you sign a contract and, you know, that's, you get your money. In the NFL, nothing guaranteed other than your signing bonus. That, and I do think there's an element in the NFL where if you don't show up, if you don't watch film, if you don't know what you're doing, you can't really just out-athlete your way out of a situation. One, you're going to get your ass kicked. You're going to get lit up. And two, it mucks everything up so bad. You can be a great player in the NBA and not practice, not watch film, whatever, and roll the ball out there and still go out and be a great player. If you're the left tackle, or if you're the tight end, you're a wide receiver, and you try that in the NFL, you look like a monkey, you know what, in a football out there, because it's two totally different games. And the level of apathy that can exist and be successful in the NBA, it can't exist in the NFL. It's just, it doesn't. There has to be some level of buy-in. Certain, there's different levels of work ethic in the NFL, but nothing like in the NBA.
Well, the other thing too on that is the NBA season is very, very long.
Yes.
You got to remember, these guys, and if they go to college, they're playing 40 games.
Yeah.
If they go to the NBA, they're playing double that per season. Then that's not counting postseason.
Yeah.
You know, so guys do pace themselves in the NBA because with all the travel and everything, it is a long ass season. So it's not all the players' faults. Like, they are thoroughbreds that are being run into the ground in the NBA. The league makes them play too much.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I mean, you heard Jason Quick yesterday when we were on with him, talking about how the Blazers just haven't had a lot of time to practice recently because they're traveling, and you'd be surprised how little they actually practice when you're in the meat of the season, because guys are tired, and you really don't push. You game plan for the next one, but that's about it. So in college, Beeline's used to having a hard ass practice every day. You only play 35 games and you go to the tournament, and at most you're playing six there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a totally different animal in the NBA. And I think the league, I've always said the league should change that, and the league should change guaranteed contracts. They never will.
Nope.
But those two things, I think it would make
the game so much better.
That league has so much potential. I don't think the NBA is a great product. And those are two reasons why right there. And, but Beeline just got to be able to adapt to that. Anyway, he's out. They did reassign him to the front office, I think.
But they still got to pay him, so they're like,
hey. So it's like, hey, could you do some analytics for us?
Do something.
Or something. Yeah. Maybe come up with a sign-stealing scheme? I don't know. And he'll be out of there this offseason because he'll go take a college job.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear Frank Caliendo and Bill Walton?
Oh, boy.
From last night?
Yeah, I heard some of this.
Oh, so you don't want to hear it?
I do want to hear it because it's fantastic.
All right, that's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Michelob Ultra welcomes the Portland Golf Show February 28th through March 1st at the Oregon Convention Center. Get up to 4 rounds of golf, top golf credit, free tailor-made golf balls, and more while they last. Shop huge sales on the biggest brands. Bonus golf at portlandgolfshow.com. We have 4 one-day passes to give away right now to the 5th caller who calls us at 503-250-1080. Call right meow. 503-250-1080. 5th caller wins. If you do not win today, we have 4 one-day passes each day next week to give away leading up to the Portland Golf Show, which is
almost
always fun.
I go every
year. All right. Where were we, Bill? Oh, I wanted to, one other thing about the John Beeline thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that the Cavs, there was a report from a Cavs reporter who said, because they were talking about, somebody asked them who gave you the best offer for Kevin Love, who gave the best offer for Kevin Love. And he mentioned that the Blazers.
Yeah, they offered up, what was it, Whiteside and Bazemore?
Yes. He mentioned that Kevin Love really didn't garner a lot of great offers because, well, Kevin Love's locked into a really, really big contract and he's
not what
old.
He wants. Yeah.
He said he thought the best offer was the Blazers offer of Bazemore and Whiteside, which those contracts together match up to Love's contract. Mm-hmm. So basically the Blazers said, hey, you can have expiring contracts. We can free up that Kevin Love. We'll get you from out from under that Kevin Love contract. And we'll take Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, I actually don't think that's a bad offer.
Well,
Kevin Love, yeah.
Well, Bazemore you got rid of anyway, and most people don't think Whiteside's coming back.
Well, I think a lot of people like the Bazemore trade better than what this would have.
Yeah, when it ended up bringing back Kevin Trevor
Love,
Ariza.
I mean, Kevin Love, you know, soft spot here because he's a local guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, word is he doesn't want to play here. He didn't want to come to Portland.
Yeah.
And... He's just old. He's just not what he used to be.
And he doesn't play defense.
And he's worth a ton of money. So I think maybe they did better just letting Whiteside walk or whatever is going to happen with him and then bringing in the Ariza portion with Bazemore. I don't know. I mean, I just, in other words,
It was interesting.
I'm not in love with the idea of Kevin Love.
No, but it was interesting that they took a swing at that. You know, we all.
You mean a swinge.
A swinge. Yes. We all were kind of sitting around and This offseason, like, this was your opportunity to go out and make a move for a piece that you could control for a couple more years. And Love fit that bill. I just think there were a lot of people that questioned whether or not Portland wanted Kevin Love. And, you know, if you believe this report, and I don't know why you wouldn't, they obviously valued Kevin Love enough to try to deal Whiteside. And here's the thing, too. If they would have dealt Whiteside, who's playing in the middle?
Yeah, well, no one.
No one.
You, probably.
I don't think that there's a big call for 6'3" centers.
Swanee.
Yeah, Biggie Smalls.
Well, they didn't give up the point of the Cavs guy. What he was saying was that nobody really offered any assets.
Yeah,
because nobody really wants Kevin Love in that contract.
No.
So the Blazers didn't offer draft picks with that. They just said, "Hey, we'll give you cap relief. You give us Kevin Love," and it just wasn't good enough. So, any whoosies, they did make the offer.
Yeah, which is I still go back to why the hell did Cleveland sign him to that deal? I mean, this was after LeBron, right? I mean, this was after he left.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were going through a rebuild, and they signed Kevin Love, and everyone was like, what? Like, what the hell are you doing there? And, you know, Cleveland was trying to do that. Well, it's not a total rebuild, and he provides veteran leadership. And, boy, that was just a head-scratcher of all head-scratchers.
All right, well, next we'll get to audio with Frank Caliendo and Bill Walton, and Colorado can't find a football coach. Coming up on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.